Paul's first missionary journey was something very special to him, and also to Barnabas, how they brought the gospel to different cities, different countries, and how God blessed. It might have been difficult for them, but God saved precious souls, and this is what it was all about. This is what a special effort is, to see souls saved. And then in chapter 15 here we have, in chapter 16 we have Paul and Silas as they, before they start their journey. But you see, what happened before that was very interesting. Because Barnabas and Paul were speaking to each other, and Paul says, Barnabas, why didn't we not go and visit those people in which we brought the gospel to and see how they're getting on, to help them, to encourage them, to strengthen them? Barnabas thought, yes, this was a great idea. So they decided they would do it. And Barnabas says, well, we'll bring John Mark with us. And we know what happened whenever John Mark went there on the first missionary journey. That he left them high and dry and went back to his own place. Paul was grieved at that. And he found it very difficult to accept them again. So there's a difference of opinion. And it came high. And what was decided? That John Mark would go with Barnabas and that Paul would bring Silas. You know, in God's work, there's always complications. There's always different opinions. We look around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, around the world even now, and we see the difference of opinions. We're all in the one church. We're all saved by the same Savior. And there's always difference of opinion. Even in families, there's difference of opinions. But what they'd done, they sorted it out. And one went one way and the other went the other way. So instead of having one work, there are two works. So here we have Paul and Silas, and we're going to look at this journey tonight as they leave to do this work. They went through Syria and Cilicia. And they came to Lystra and were joined by Timotheus. Timothy joined them, and he was part of their team. Their purpose was to edify the church. And surely that is something that every pastor, preacher, minister, missionary, member wants to do, is to edify the church. And we all have a part to edify the church by working within it and by helping out, by coming to their prayer meetings, by coming to the Bible study. We all have a part by going round the doors with the leaflets, by bringing the children in under the sound of the word. Even the boys and girls have a part. And it's good to see the boys and girls out again tonight. They've no school tomorrow, so they're able to come to the meeting. And even you have this opportunity. You can be missionaries to bring the gospel message to others. Bring them along to the meeting. Pray that the Lord would save them. Here we have this edifying of the churches. They went through many cities and many regions and were led by the Holy Ghost. See, this is the most important thing, is being led by the Holy Spirit. We've got to be led. And before we be led by the Holy Spirit, we have to seek Him. We have to allow Him. We have to say, Lord, lead us and guide us. And whenever He does, open that opportunity that you go on with it. Oh, how the Holy Spirit is so important even in our preaching and teaching today. And so the churches were established, and they increased in number daily. Was that tremendous? People were getting saved daily. Wasn't that great to come back like that? Isn't it lovely to have somebody ring you up, or in this modern age they would text you and they would say such and such a person's got saved? No, wouldn't that be great? You know how we ought to be praying for this, that the Lord will do this great work. He's done it then with the early church. No reason why he'd not do it with us. Pray and ask him to come and work. And then they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes he says, no, don't go there. And they were led and guided to somewhere else. They weren't allowed in Asia, so they saw a vision. Paul saw this great vision. There stood a man of Macedonia. And there he is, and he says, come over here and help us. There again the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding. And they were obedient to it. They didn't say, well, I'll think about it. They didn't even say, we'll pray about it. Because, oh, many people do and say it's a good thing to pray about a thing. But some things are urgent and have to be dealt with straight away. And this is why it's important to be in the Spirit at all times, so the Lord can use you at all times. And here, this man that they saw in this vision, and immediately they endeavoured, immediately, to go over to Macedonia to help them. They entered into a city called Philippi, the chief city of that part of Macedonia. Then we have in verse 14 the conversion of Lydia. We've been speaking this morning about a family, and I'm doing a study now about a family at the moment. And here we have this other lady, Lydia, and she was a seller of purple. And I think there was a young lady in here this morning called Lydia, but she told me her name. And I just smiled because I knew she would be mentioned tonight. And Lydia, she was a seller of purple, had a good job, and the Lord saved her. And what else did he do? He saved her household. Her household. Isn't this great to know that just not singly persons can be saved, but a household can be saved? Mummies and daddies, brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, grandas and grandas. Can be saved. And here Lydia was a great example, a great testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have another lady, and this is a very important woman as well, because as we look through this, we'll see again how God works, how the Holy Ghost is used in the leading and guiding. And she was a diviner, we read about it, and how she was soothsaying and all this fortune telling and all sorts of things. It happens regularly today, and there are many people that do it. Many people are caught with it because it's a real thing, and it's wicked, it's evil, and of the devil. The men were making money from her. And she would, whenever they had a prayer meeting, you know, in a prayer meeting there's always opposition. When the Lord is given opposition, you know, he's always going to work. It's always good to have opposition. And there, as they were praying, and how the women prayed, even in that time, even when we're down at the riverside, and she would come along and she would make fun and mock. But the Lord took control and he saved her. And whenever he saved her, the people knew that all All their work was gone. There was no money coming in. What would they do? And they were very angry. And they stirred the magistrates up. And they stirred the people up. And they came and they took Paul and Silas before the magistrates. Took their clothes off them and beat them. Beat them. Here Paul and Silas was willing to go through all this because God had a purpose for them. God had a work for them to do. And he was leading them, guiding them. And then they put him into prison. And you can just imagine it. And God's people, trying to see others saved, had love for the people, and how the people turned their back on them with so much hatred and put them in to prison. Well, that is my introduction tonight, because I'm going to speak about something special tonight. And it's all about a prison. And I don't know if there's any prison or ex-prison officers here tonight or not, but in many of our churches there are ex and present prison officers. This is something very special that has happened, and you've seen the leading up to it, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And here we have them been put in to a prison. When they were put into prison, the responsibility was given over to one man. To one man. And who was that man? That man was the jailer. And he was told clearly and directly, keep them safe. Keep them safe. Now the first thing that this man did was he put them into an inner prison. An inner prison. And that would have been a horrible thing. Because way back those years, they hadn't the prisons that we have today. They were all dungeons. An ordinary prison would have been just with bars and stone walls. You would have had maybe the rats running around, big cockroaches going up the walls, all sorts of insects. But I think the most difficult thing with all would have been the darkness. The darkness. And that is a picture of hell, a lost eternity. Darkness. No one wants to go to a place of darkness, outer darkness. No one surely wants to go to hell, a place of torment forever and ever and ever. Whenever I was, as I said this morning, I'll mention something about it, down in Tasmania. And we had a great time. The Lord blessed, and they were looking forward to our brother Ralph. His three marriages are related to us. And the people were looking forward. We had a great time. And the Lord really blessed. I remember one night we prayed. And over there in Australia, their charismatic was rife. And even, believe it or not, one of the head, Margaret McCourt, one of the head of that charismatic was very strong in points that we are strong on. You know, so it's hard to explain, but there it's like everywhere else. People are just forgetting about God and trying to go their own way. And as we were there, I remember praying, Noel, myself, two elders were praying for the meeting. And we were praying, prayed that the Lord would bring some charismatic person out of it. and also that he would bring someone off the street. And we prayed, and it would have been a difficult thing to happen. But there one Lord's Day morning, this man came in, and he started to come again at night, and we spoke to him. And this night, and as I was speaking to him about the charismatic and he's a saved man, and he wasn't feeling good about the way they're getting into the church and the way God's word is not being taught, and he was concerned, but he didn't want to leave his family. And I was dealing with him and speaking to him. And on the meantime, that same night, now there wasn't many. There wasn't as many as here tonight. And there was girls there in the meeting, and they were speaking with another girl. She had just came off the street. She was walking up by the church. And she just felt to come in under the sound of God's word. You see, God answers prayer. But we have to put it into force. We have to have these desires within our heart for this work. And whenever I was there, it was a great time. And especially their hot chocolate was very good with marshmallows and fresh cream. And my wife now doesn't allow me to take them because I put on far too much weight. And I'm barred from hot chocolate. And it was good, but it came to the very last day. And I thought that would bring me somewhere nice. Now I've been, they brought me around so many places and saw just from here to there, from the Tasmanian Devils, as they call them. And there's actually the same one that was on television not so long ago, because of photographs of him and it. And they brought us down to Port Arthur. And Port Arthur is a prison. And in the 1800s, people from over here, if they had a stole something, say for example, they were hungry, the people were hungry them days. Saying somebody had stole a slice of bread and had done it again, they'd be sent over to Tasmania, over to Australia. And they were put into this prison. People, at young ones at 13 years of age, and there they would have to do hard work. And we went down as a peninsula. And then it was cut off so that they could put dogs around. And they didn't need many people. They didn't need many jailers there. Because nobody could get away from it. Couldn't swim. And it was listening to that man. It was a terrible ordeal for those people and what they had to suffer. And as we went round and talked, went into all these dungeons, and we saw them, it would have frightened you. It would have made you so creepy. And the mind came back, went back, just imagine what it was like for those people in those dungeons. Young children, just teenagers. And how I'm sure when they went in at night after their hard work in the forests, chopping down trees and having to carry the trees back over their shoulders. And what pain was suffering there was in those jailhouses. Terrible place. And I'm sure the rats and even Australia itself, there's so many insects. And all these things would have been running through even at this time. Prison houses in them days was very, very bad to be in the darkness. Now I have a picture of sin. If you're here tonight not saved, that's the way you are. The Bible tells us in darkness. That's why I'm here tonight to preach. So that you'll come out of this darkness. That you'll come to Christ and take him as your own and personal Savior. But let us look at this jailer. He would have lived in the prison grounds. And I was down taking a meeting down in Belfast a few weeks back. And went down, I think it was a Crumlin Road. I went with another man for I'm not too sure of these places. And he was pointing out to me the prison, Crumlin Road Prison. And then there was lovely houses right beside it. And that was the prison houses. And he has explained to me about the tunnel and all underneath. So the prison officers, even today, many of them would have lived in the prison. And this man probably would have lived there with his family. No names are recorded, but he was a tough man. He might have been big size, because you don't have to be big to be tough. But he would have been tough both in spirit and in his own mind. He had to be for the work. It wouldn't have been a job everybody would be queuing up to have. A hard, responsible job. And his job was not to let these people escape, because if he had let them escape, he would have to face the consequences as well. But something special was going to happen to this man. Now, he didn't know it, but God knew. Maybe something's going to happen special to you tonight. And if you're not saved, maybe this will be the night the Lord will save you. Or maybe for the child of God, there could be something special happening to you tonight. God could speak to you and maybe lead you into his work and into his service to do something for him. Very important. And his family did not know. But the Holy Ghost brought Paul and Silas into this prison for a purpose. Remember, he was led by the Holy Ghost. Paul and Silas was in this position. What did they do? Did they go in and just talk to each other lightly in the inner prison? Did they maybe just keep quiet? Some people would have maybe cried and said, "Why am I here?" No, we didn't. They didn't. They sang praises unto God. They sang hymns. And they prayed. And they were doing this out loud. And who heard them? Was the prisoners heard them? The jailers would have heard them. They were rejoicing in the Lord. They were contented in the place they were, because they knew they were in God's will. They were doing God's work and God's service. They had joy in their hearts. You see, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Are we joy in our hearts, child of God? Are we rejoicing whenever we come to a difficult time and we're persecuted, maybe at work, maybe at school, and people are making fun and laughing at you? Do you respond with joy in your heart and start to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs? This is what Paul and Silas did. This is what we ought to do when we come up against it, when we face the devil. You see, the devil is no part in us at all. That the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Child of God, are we doing that? Are we lifting up our voices and praising God with grace in our hearts, and other people can hear us? Or do we just praise God so that nobody hears us? Oh, this is a part of our testimony. Should be joyful and bring God's word to the lost of Christ and souls. They brought the word. Well, the people knew without a shadow of a doubt that they belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go back again now to Port Arthur. And I remember whenever they brought me round, I know they brought me to a wee place, a church, and I was always keeping them going when I was over there about Macaroni and Liston na Piffy. You might know where those places are. And we came to a ruined church. And I said, and this is right like the old church at Macaroni. And afterwards we went up into the cafe, and this girl was serving us and asked where she was from. She said she was from Macaroni, and she had friends in Lysinopiffy. And I met one of my relations out there at the bottom of the world. But I was looking around those churches, and they had these buildings like a museum, and you could go and walk around them. And one thing that hit me straight away was the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching. Even in the 1800s, people were hearing the gospel message in that prison. God's people were rejoicing. How tremendous that was. And I was really encouraged even to hear those men, and they were preaching, come to Christ. The way they were preaching, the gospel was brought forth in such a tremendous way. Oh yes, the prisoners, the jailer was able to hear the gospel message. Then we have, secondly, the great earthquake that shook the prison. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises as aloud. What happened? There was a great earthquake. The doors were opened. And there, the jailer, he woke up. He was sleeping. He probably had a room of his own. And whenever he heard all the commotion, he came running. And what came into his mind? Oh, what happened to me and my job? I'll be disgraced. I'll be put out of it. And he never thought of his family or anything like that. So what he done, he took his sword and he's about to kill himself. And he heard a voice saying, do thyself no harm. It was Paul. And he cried out to him. And then he shouted for a light. And he got the light, and the time he got into the inner prison. And what did he do? He brought Paul and Silas out. And he knew through listening and through what had happened, God was speaking to him. In other words, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See, it was personal. And then the other three words, and thy house at the end, was a jailer and his family all saved at the same time? No, they weren't. Salvation is personal. It's a personal thing. What happened to him? He brought them to their house. He opened the scriptures. And they preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they've done. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was a personal message to each and every one of them. And when they heard the word of God, they believed. Oh yes, they all as a family came to Christ and were saved. But they had to do it individually. And just because we have a saved family doesn't mean to say it's going to get us into heaven for it or not. Salvation is personal. Is anybody thinking that? That they can get to heaven some other way, they're wrong. They must come and believe. And I'm sure as Paul and Silas spoke to those people and told them what to do, they had to believe that they were sinners. They had to believe that they were lost, and that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, that he suffered more than any man on that cruel tree, and how he died on that cross. The cry went up, it is finished. No more sacrifice for sin. Christ paid it all. There he suffered. Had to believe that. and that he rose again from the dead, and he's in the Father's right hand, and that Christ is alive. You see, in the early church days, what they preached most of all was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people hated that preaching. That's why they were put into prison. That Jesus is alive. So many today have him dead. But he's not dead. He's alive. Hallelujah. And he's on the Father's right hand, and he's willing and able to save precious souls for you if you come to him tonight. He'll not cast you out. He will take you into his family. The exact same way as that Philippian jailer and his family was gloriously and wonderfully saved. What a great conversion. Then we see, finally, the change that took place to their family. I'm sure whenever I was down there in Tasmania, and I looked around that prison, I'll never forget it to the day I die, I heard about all the preaching. I said to myself, well, surely someone has been saved through all that preaching year after year. God would have souls saved, maybe jailers saved, prisoners saved. Oh, how wonderful it is when you look back at the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great change there was in Paul and that jailer's, Philippian jailer's life. And not only in his, but his family. And the first thing they done, they were baptized. They were baptized. When anybody wants to speak about baptism, this is a good chapter to look at, because so many people have different opinions. But they were baptized. And there's an outward indication to the people that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would have been a difficult thing for to do in those circumstances. His job would be in jeopardy. But they were not afraid. They were baptized, and people saw that there was a change in their life. Oh, how wonderful that was. And he came and he brought them and washed their stripes, washed their bodies, and put up food for them to eat. Instead of being a hard man in mind and body, how now he was full of compassion. See, when the Lord saves you, you're changed. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And her, there was newness in that life. Their whole attitude changed completely. Now they were saved on their way to heaven. Whenever I think of Paul and Silas and what they went through, for all that to happen, oh, I'm sure they rejoiced. I'm sure they were so thrilled at it. And they would have went through it again. And they probably did. Just to see sinners saved. Is that our attitude today? Are we willing to go to prison, go through all that torture, get stripes, so that the gospel message can go forth? Souls can be saved. You know, time is coming, and it is already now, I believe, the persecution of God's people. It's all around the world. It's coming even into their own province, and into their own towns. And God's people, we're going to be persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what anybody preached or tract work, whatever it may be, we're going to suffer for it. And we'll maybe be beaten. But would it all be worthwhile just to see some poor sinner saved? I pray if you're a poor sinner here tonight, that you will be saved. Many's the time I think back at that prison down in Port Arthur, and the change there would have been in the people's hearts. They wouldn't have much lives to live. But even Australia today, how it was so much dependent on those convicts. It was built with those convicts. And whenever you could have put your name in and see if there was anybody, your name in it. And I just put my name in, first of all, with my proper name, and then added another M to it. And yes, there was. There was one there. And I thought of him. Maybe he was saved. And how many were saved? And then they went out when they got free and out into Australia itself. You know, Australia was a godly nation. That's where it probably came from. The change in the people's lives. The witness of the Christians. People have been even saved in prison. How wonderful that is. What they went through because of that. What a great change there was in their lives. What a great change there would be in your life if you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our meeting's over now. We're going to sing a hymn very shortly. But if you're not saved, you can just come the way you are. Just believe you're a sinner. Ask the Lord to save you. Come and repent of your sins, saying, I believe. And the Lord will save you. For a child of God, if you feel that there's work and service for you to do, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit even more in your life, ask Him. And He will lead you and He will guide you. You're closing.